Oh, here we go.
Okay, Shavua Tov, a good First week, day. Everybody.
Shavua Tov.
All right.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov, we got three people out here, maybe, right?
I think there's a fourth.
All right, let me write
They're
down.
The fifth.
Oh, that's no, let's go with number one. Who's the first?
Jake.
Okay, Jake, you're becoming number one now. You're taking Bruce's position away. Who's number two?
I was two. Bruce.
Who? Oh, Bruce, you're number two, or you were first, or what?
No, Jake was beat me.
All right, number three is?
Caleb.
Caleb. Number four.
He didn't announce himself.
Who?
Somebody came on but didn't say who he was.
Hello, who are you, number four?
Moshe Resnick.
Oh, Moshe. Oh, you know, I looked in the list. You haven't been on for about 5 or 6 weeks. What's the story?
I just got back from vacation.
Oh, where'd you go, out of the country?
From California.
Oh, all right. Listen, we have to travel. I was in California twice, and, you know, I went to they took me to the Redwood Mountain, Redwood Trees. There's one tree, Sherman Oak, that a highway goes through the tree.
Oh, you went up to Northern California.
Yeah, Northern California, and what do you call it, Sherman Oaks or something, some beautiful tree.
Sherman Oaks is in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, you know, they say the tree is 5,000 years old. That's the age of the earth. Interesting. Huge tree. Inside is hollowed out. 35 people can hold hands inside the tree around the inside perimeter. That's how big it is. And they have two small highways, you know, right north and south, going right through the tree. Can you imagine how big these Grand Sherman Oaks, they call them? Okay, anyhow, I was there. So, Moshe Resnick, welcome back. Number five, anybody? I want to tell you something. You remember that tragedy that happened last week where Rabbi Reuven Bauman drowned in Norfolk, Virginia? You heard about it? No one knows about it?
Yes.
That? The whole Jewish world knows.
Yes.
Okay. He was a Rebbe in Norfolk,
yes,
Virginia. And you know when someone... Who? What? Okay. Jake what?
No, Jake was saying... sharing with me that there was a rabbi, I guess, in Lake Michigan who went in to save somebody and ended up drowning.
Really? Who's number five? It just came on.
Barry Cohen.
Barry Cohen. Number six, maybe anybody who I have so far. Jake, Bruce. Oh, here's another one. Who's this?
Alex Schoimer.
Alex, okay. Schoimer. So we have Alex, Barry Cohen, Moshe. Caleb, Bruce, Jake. That's it so far. Now let me see who has Al Resnick. You have two. Moshe Resnick, you have two. You have to verify the latest two last week and the two last week. I think you have to verify, Moshe. Alex, you have three as of yesterday. Did you
think it? I think 7-9. That's not verified. 7-9.
Which one? What was what? What was it?
7-9.
Oh, 7-9. But I went there, but you mean you put in it, but I didn't do it?
Yeah.
But you have one that's not verified?
Correct.
All right. Let me knock this out. I'm going to check it right after the program. Maybe I didn't put it in. Maybe. Do you have? Is it 60 minutes or a different amount?
60, correct.
All right, then I have to put it in. If you put it in and I didn't, then my fault. All right. So let's see what else. Who didn't verify? Alex, Mario, Calvin, Bruce, you have one, but you took care of it, Bruce?
Yeah, I thought I did. I'll check real quick as we...
All right, at the moment, I don't know. Charlie, no. Barry Cohn, one. Did you take care of that? Not? You didn't do it?
Do you know what... Can you tell me what date it was?
No, man, you know, you have... Every person that joins this has a password and your own site. Your name is there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
go there, I know.
I usually put them in... Right when I'm doing the call, I put them in.
Oh, but I think you have one, Barry. One undone as if of maybe last night or Friday morning or something.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that...
I'll look for it.
Rabbi, this is Bruce. The one that's not verified is 7-11.
For you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, let me put the...
That's Thursday. I have it in, but you don't.
All right, I'm going to check it right after the I'm not sitting in front of the computer. Now I'm sitting in front of my phone. My phone is not the same place.
Yeah, right, and 7-Eleven was offering free Slurpees, I think, last week.
Free Slurpees? What does that mean? Oh, 7-Eleven, I got you. Okay, we have Jake, Bruce, Caleb, Moshe, Barry, Alex, anybody else?
Mayor Pearl is on the phone.
Oh, Mayor Pearl from Florida. Yeah. Did you take care of that thing, Mayor?
The date, I just tried entering them about 20 minutes ago, and I've got to find my passwords.
Oh, you mean you're gonna have the operation soon?
Oh, I'm talking about the entering the dates for the.
What do you mean? You're coming up this week or something?
No, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something else.
That operation. You gonna take care of it?
Yeah. Well, they're not. They want to see if they want the information to go down first before he.
Everybody who listened to me probably had a hernia operation. And I had it. It's nothing to be afraid of. It takes 40 minutes, and after 3 hours, they kick you out of the hospital and they go home. So, but if you have to do it, that's nothing. But if it's not that, then you don't do it. You have to do whatever it is. All right, number 8.
Mordecai Kaufman.
All right,
Mordecai Kaufman.
Kaufman. Okay, Mordecai, you got it. Number 9, Mayor Pearl Kaufman, Alex, Barry, Moshe, Caleb, Bruce, Jake. Who else is on here? Nobody yet. Okay.
Gil Kreisel.
Oh, Gil. Now, I want to tell everybody. Gil Kreisel was in the search team for that young man, and he and another boat found him. Gil Kreisel lives in Savannah. He left Motzi Shabbos 12 o'clock, drove 8 hours to Norfolk, because that man was his son's Rebbe. So therefore, he got in a boat searching down the coast of Norfolk, the end of Virginia, and went into North Carolina. And Gil went with a friend in a boat looking near the shore, but another boat a little 100 yards away from him, found him. And then there was a guy walking down the shore for 5 miles. And there's nothing to do with the Rangers or Coast Guard. This is all from Jews who decided to look for this person. And they found him with his white shirt and his sitzes hanging out and his clothes on, no shoes. But can you imagine the fish didn't eat him, nothing? You talk about the ocean.
What are you talking about?
Well, if you don't know it, you have to go back last week and find out the big tragedy that happened for the Jewish people. A guy, Reuven Bauman, drowned in a riptide in Norfolk. He was a Rebbe in Norfolk, Virginia. And he saved the little kid from the riptide, but he got pulled out from the undercurrent. And they're looking for him with helicopters and everything, and the Coast Guard gave up the fight, the look. But the Eden kid kept on looking.
Dina Ruffo.
Dina Ruffo, number 10. And they found him. When was it, last night, yesterday, today? When was it? Gil.
It was today.
Today. And Gil drove from...
Sorry, was that?
Yeah, Gil, one of our Torah mates here, drove 8 hours from Savannah to Norfolk because that man was his son's Rebbe. And now to bring a Jew to Kavura to bury him is a tremendous mitzvah. You can do it on Shabbos even. You can violate the Shabbos drive and drive the boat or anything because maybe the guy's living. Maybe you hit a little tiny island and he's sitting there. You never know until you find the body.
Maybe if you don't find, you have a guna.
Yeah, right. The woman is not guna. Can't ever get
married.
My
brother had to do searches after 9/11.
Yeah, well, that's right.
He was told, don't stop because if we find a part of a body,
that's right. You know what happened? In Muncie, a lot of guys were there at 9/11. One guy that I knew was on the 101st floor. They never found his body, so the wife was a guna for 2 years, 3 years, and finally they found a kneecap of a human being. And everyone who didn't come home, the wives gave in some underwear or toothbrush so they can check the DNA of every single person. They found the guy's kneecap, and that matched the DNA number. And then after 2.5 years, 3, she sat Shiva. And then now she can get married. Otherwise, she's an aguna, can't get married to anybody. Because maybe he's living somewhere. And so same thing with this. There's no Shiva. There's nothing until they find the body. Now we can they bury, and by the way, he comes from Washington Heights, where I come from, and they're going to be he's going to be buried in the same cemetery where all the people in the hill that my father was the Rav of in Washington, in that place, because he's related to somebody here. He's a Yaki, a German Jew. So he's going to be buried in Clifton, New Jersey, where the Washington Heights people are buried. So they finally found
Bill.
What?
Talk to you. Yeah, what? 10:30 yeah. Tomorrow is the funeral
Levaya?
In Norfolk.
In Washington Heights?
Yeah, 10:30.
Where in Washington Heights, yeah. Because
no, not in Washington Heights. In
where?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk. Why Norfolk?
Because this is where he's been here for the past couple of years.
Oh, but I don't think they're going to bury him there, or do you think?
He's not. He's being buried in Clifton, New Jersey.
Yeah, I know, in Salma, where my father's buried.
Right, but he's still, his wife is still sitting Shiva here in Norfolk, Virginia. She's not going up north.
All right, I understand. Okay. Baruch Hashem, they found the body. And that, because the family, the person, the mace, that doesn't have any menucha peace until he's buried. And what a mitzvah it is to find the body of a yid and bury him. So they worked, you're going to be challah Shabbos for this. And Gil, one of our Torah mates, drove for 8 hours from Savannah to North Norfolk to be in the midst of searching. You know, there were a lot of people searching. Like Gil told me, somebody walked down the shore for miles and miles and miles and miles. Maybe there were 5 body parts. But his whole body was together. And they could see his... You
Baruch
know,
Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. What a tragedy it happened. So if you want to know in the Jewish world what's going
on
any second, you have to
way,
shoot... Hello, if you want to know what's going on in the Jewish world, every second you go to Yeshiva World, Yeshiva News, and they tell you everything, any second, all over the world, in 5 minutes, everybody knows it. Shoot, Yeshiva World News. Yeshiva Y, and W, and something, Yeshiva World News, I think it's called. That's how you find out what's going on in the Jewish world. All right, anyhow, now let's get to the parasha called
Bullock.
Yeah, what?
Is it not a great thing that if he had to go, he went saving another Jewish life?
Yeah, it's a great thing. But he didn't save his life. They knew he's dead. I mean, you know.
He saved a child.
Well, he saved a child, yes. He took a child out of this surf, but he got pulled with the undercurrent, and he gave his life to save a little Jewish child. What a big mitzvah it is to find his body. And they searched after the Coast Guard gave up after 2, 3, 4 days. But we don't give up. And if you make an effort, God makes it work out that you find him. Because you want to find him. And you don't care how long it takes. A week, 2 weeks. And maybe it's good. Sooner or later, the body always comes up, you know. All right. Somebody's talking, but he's not talking into the microphone, so I can't really hear. All right, Gil, you deserve a lot of credit.
Thank you, Rebbe. Rebbe, I actually have one of the other persons. We had a whole group from Savannah actually that went. So
really, the whole group from Savannah.
Yeah. So actually, I have one here. His name is Benjamin. I'm sorry, his name is Chaim Rapan. So
he's online with us.
Yeah, he's gonna listen tonight because we're staying tonight because the funeral's tomorrow. So we're staying.
Can I talk to him? What's his name?
Yes.
My name is Chaim Rapan.
Oh, Chaim what?
Chaim Rapan.
Yeah, where, are you from Savannah? What do you do there?
I'm in Savannah. I work there. I was born and bred there for many generations already.
And so you also went with Gil?
Yeah, we came together.
And they went to Norfolk. And they got involved in finding the mace. Reuven, Bauman. What a big mitzvah you guys did.
We captained the boat, and we went out there, and we worked with the people from Baltimore.
We joined the team.
Can you imagine, gentlemen, what you're listening to? A man drives 8 hours and to find his kid's Rebbe. What a mitzvah that is. This is unbelievable. We're learning with wonderful people. All right. We have 11 people. Let me see. Let me read the list one more time. Then we're going to go learn. Jake, Bruce, Caleb, Marsha, Barry, Alex, Mayor, Mordechai, Gil, Dean Rocco, and who else? Nobody else. Okay, we have 10. Okay, let's go to the Parsh and the other fellow from Savannah. Yeah, and let's go to
Eliezer.
Lipkin, are you there too? Oh.
Yeah, I'm driving. I can't talk.
You just came on?
No, I was on. I mentioned about my brother searching in 9/11.
Your brother what?
After 9/11.
Oh.
Brother was instructed by a group of Rabbanim not to stop searching, in order not to, in order that there should be not one extra aguna.
That's right.
So he searched straight through Shabbos.
Right, you have to.
And he found quite a bit of remains.
Yeah, and you know what, gentlemen? If your wife does not find her husband's body, or no two witnesses say he died, the woman can never get married. Because if she gets married and the guy had, let's say, amnesia for 5 years and then he becomes conscious, that means that woman is married to two men now. And since she was a married woman to the first, that means the second child is a mamzer. Because a Jewish woman cannot be married to two men. And therefore, this law is so strict. Unless they find the body or two reliable witnesses who say they saw the corpse, she can never get married. She's called an aguno. And so the law in halakha is like this. If you're in the middle of the ocean, if a guy fell over the boat, and then you know he's dead right away. But if he's on the shore, like with this case, he could have been pulled out and then swam or pulled out miles and then eventually hit a little island or went pushed up against some shore, then the law is much more strict. Because maybe he got pulled up in somewhere, and then you have to search and search and search, and then I don't know when the end of the search is. But it's harder because, you know, there's shore around. But in the middle ocean where there's nothing, it's 1, 2, 3. If they don't come up, he's dead. Where can he come up? There's nobody. There's no land around. So if there's a lake, or like this case, right next to the shore, you got to find the body. The woman can never get married. And if she gets married and the guy shows up 5 years later, the kid's a mamzer because she's a married woman who has two husbands. And a mamzer can only be a yid, by the way. A guy, there's no such law about goyim that they're mamzerim. Only a Jew can be a mamzer. Because they don't have the laws that we have, the strict laws. So they call the child out of wedlock B.A., right? But we don't call it that. For a guy, it's not a mamzer. But we're very careful when you're Jewish person, when you're religious. Before you ever meet the girl, you want to know who the father is, and the mother, and the grandmother, and the brother, and the sister. Where did he grow up? Who did he learn with? What does he practice? How religious is he? Before you even meet, you have 90% of the groundwork done. Because sudden people wouldn't even consider the it's not for them. Maybe too religious, not religious enough. You know, so marriage is not just two people meeting. You're connecting two dynasties. Both families go back thousands of years. You want to know who are you getting involved with. And they have to be sure that the person does not have, even God forbid, a criminal record. Maybe they did tshuva. Maybe the woman was some thing that was not nice, and then she did tshuva. Everything is possible. But the mother has to be a vadai, a Jew, or converted with a Orthodox Bezdin. Otherwise, it's nothing. It means nothing. If you're converted by a foreign rabbi, he's not a rabbi. He doesn't keep the Torah. He doesn't believe in the Torah. So the conversion is zero because he doesn't believe in his own religion. So how can he convert anybody? You have to be a Torah, a Bezdin of reformed people. And then that counts. And then any guy can become a yid if you're sincere. All right, let's go to the Pasha Bullock. Now we get to Bullock. Man, the king of Moab, next door to Israel, right? Well, there was no Israel then. Canaan, the next country on the right side, which we call Jordan today. Bullock. Vayar Bullock. Bullock saw Ben Tzippor, the son of Tzippor. That's his father. It's called Sha'asi Yisrael Amori. Everything the Jews did to the Amorites. The last parasha, we beat them up, wiped them out, and the two kings, Og and Sichon, his brothers, two giants, and we took the whole east bank for ourselves. And he's the Amori to the Amorites. But Yogar Moav, Moga was trembling.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Before Israel tries to cross these nations, they ask them politely, and they kind of reassure them that nothing's going to happen, and they just want to pass through. How come the nations just don't let them pass through?
They didn't want them. They didn't like them. How come most nations hate us?
They don't like
you because you're superior. You're God's chosen. They don't like you. But let's go again. V'yar Bullock, he saw. That doesn't mean he was his eyes. He realized this is a superpower right up against them. By Yar, he realized, of course, there's Saul, but he says this Jewish people defeats the two biggest giants that all the nations on the right side of the land of Canaan hired them to protect their eastern border, their Jordan side, and this nation wiped them out. By Yar Bullock, he realized Bullock Ben Sipor, it's called Sha'asa Yisrael, what the Jews did to the Amorites. by yoga, they were trembling. Not only they're going to people going to take over their country, they're going to have to leave their own country. By yoga, they were trembling. They were was very frightened. Moab, the country Moab, because Balak was the king of Moab. Vibnehom, because of the people of Moab, very much. Ki Ravhu, they are very powerful. Rav means it was formidable, means dangerous. With Moshe Rabbeinu and God behind you, no one can stand up against you. Ki Ravhu, Vayokots, they were disgusted. First is Vayogar, they were trembling, means physically afraid of their life. And Yochas means they were disgusted that this nation is so powerful, just like today. When we're very powerful, they come say we do apartheid and we do boom. We have no pity on little Arabic children. Yeah, what about the other side of the story? If they would stop shooting, the Israeli war would stop instantly. It's only for self-protection they're doing this. Jews don't bomb Arab buses with women and children in it. Yochas, they were disgusted because these people are so powerful. Because of the Jewish people. Now Moab said, we need a big prophet to curse them. Swords won't work. We need to curse them. Midian was where Moshe's father-in-law came from. Yisro, it's what you call today Saudi Arabia. If you don't know the map of the east, of the Mideast, I'm just talking, it's nothing. Last week's Parsha, if you don't know those 15, 20 cities and rivers, it's just like talking to a blind person. You have to get a map of ancient Israel. It's in all, you can find it in many Chumashim, especially Art Scroll, and in R.E.A. Kaplan's one volume, five books of the Torah with all those maps in it. If you don't know how the East Bank looked then, and where is Moab, and where is Ammon, and where is the Yarmouk River, and the Yarden River, and the Arnon River, then it's you don't know the geography of the place, the topography. So they sent a message to Midian, Saudi Arabia. Today they call Saudi Arabia. They said to Midian, Ato, now. See, with the word Ato with an I in, that means now. But Ato with an olive means you. Ato, now. Yilachaku hakahal. This group has licked up everybody. Kolsivus and all our neighbors.
Yosef.
So, Yosef Yeshua. Oh, well, let me write this down here. Where is that paper? Oh, here it is. Yeah, Yosef Yeshua. Okay, yep. Anybody wants a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, Yosef Yeshua, figure it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Robert Shaw, why does this chapter 22 start with base instead of olive?
Oh, very good. Okay, the Christians made this. The Jews left it because it's very convenient. But Rashi never, ever tells you, look at Pusik this. There were no Pusukim in the times of Rashi 1100 years ago. There were nothing. It was called Parshas Balak, and you have to look for the Pusik. But now, why did they make it base? Because they saw that Pusik Aleph, the last Pusik of last week was the beginning, where it says in the last Pusik of last week, Chav Beis Aleph, Yisru ben Esau, Yachnu bar was Moab, Me'evar Yarden Yericho. So that would sound like it, because these nations are on the east side of the river. So they thought maybe that's where the Parsha starts. However, we have a Masorah that is not true. The last Pusik is the last Pusik of last week. That has nothing to do with this week. But the Christian minds made the chapter numbers, like this is called chapter 22. That doesn't exist in the Talmud or Rashi. It's called Parshas Balak. You got to find it. Doesn't tell you no chapter, no pesukim, nothing. They tell you go to Parshas Balak, and ancient times people were very familiar with every word in the Chumash. They knew where everything was. They didn't read Mother Goose and nonsense like that. They learned Torah when the kid was 3 years old and 5 years old and 8 years old and 12 years old and 15 years old and 20. It was like they knew it by heart almost. Okay, that's why you saw it base. But it happened to be a convenient thing, so the Jew, the guy, you didn't left it because it's a pretty good thing. Help us find the place. Yomer Moab, Pussy 4. Yomer Moab, Victor Midian, the elders of Midian. That's where Bilam is coming in. He's the wizard of their big prophet. Yelachiku Hakahal, this Kehillah, this group, has licked up all our neighbors. Like a bull licks up the vegetables of the field. Now, my father asked the question, cows and bulls don't eat vegetables. Never. Only grain. So what you mean, yarek vegetables? So he says like this: if you have a very big hundreds of acres of wheat field or grain or alfalfa or oats or rye, whatever, one of those grains, and at the end you have a few hundred acres of vegetables, they will, when they come to the end of the grains, they'll eat the vegetables by accident a little bit, which means Balak is saying these people are so powerful, they're going to eat us up by accident. We're nothing compared to them. That's what it means. They wiped out the two kings, Og and Sihon. They're definitely, we're small change as far as that's concerned. Who was this person who just came on? Somebody just came on, or I think Dina Rocha, you said something?
I just thought that was amazing insight. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, look. That's my father's word, I thought, that like a cow eats vegetables by accident, they're going to wipe us up like nothing. We're like, what you say in English, small change. There's nothing. They won't even have we're nothing compared to them.
Rabbi Schwab.
Yeah.
When I was a child, we went to visit relatives out in California. And out there, they wouldn't provide Kol Yisrael unless you went. If you visited for a day or two, they would let you buy. But if you wanted for a week or two or three weeks, you had to go and supervise.
Oh.
When we would go up there, we'd watch them make the milk, so it was called the straw, and then we would bring it and give it out. And the problem was, me and my siblings would go play with the cows, and cows, after they finished eating, they would start licking things. So they would nibble on the wooden fence, they would chew, and they'd damage it. If you got too close, they might, lick through your shoes. They would actually, chew, but just like your father was saying, I saw it. They would eat, and they would. It's not they were hungry.
Yeah.
It's a habit. I'm in the middle of chewing. I live.
That's right.
It's
they're
a
not
sensory
too smart.
Thing that they did.
Yeah, but like the other thing, they'll eat you by accident. They eat the little the shoes. They're hungry. So which means
No, it wasn't hunger. They were full. They would have the food in front. They would like the different textures. Chew on things.
So that's what my father said. They're going to eat you up by accident because cows are not really eating vegetables. They eat grain. So we are nothing, Bullock said. Hey, God, we're nothing. So, he eats vegetables. Where's that? Bullock ben Sipor, and now the king Bullock, the son of Sipor, was the king of Moab at that time. But Yishlach Melachim el Bilam, so they sent these agents, doesn't mean angel, agents to Bilam, a big Gentile prophet, brilliant man, ben Baar, the son of Baar, Pesora to Pesora. Pesora means Pesora. I know in English, but what does it mean? He was a poser chalomos. He could explain dreams. Like Yosef was a poser chalomos, the Tzara Mashkim, the water guy, the butler, and came to Yosef. We had a dream. He could explain dreams. This guy, he was a brilliant man, the most brilliant guy that ever lived. He was a low life, filthy man, but he was brilliant. He slept with his own donkey. But he was brilliant, and all the world used Bilam as a big, they thought he knew the truth about everything, and he was pretty good. Pesora, he was like a poser chalom, as he could explain dreams. Or Pesora means a place where there is a very big river, though they want to say it's the Euphrates River. Ashir al-Hanohar, which is next to that Euphrates River. That's one of the biggest rivers in the Middle East. And it divides Iraq and Iran, if you know the map of the Middle East. Eretz B'nai Amos, where he came from. Bullock came from that place that Bilam was in, so they know each other. The crow lo to call him, Lamo. Hinei, behold, Am Yotzim Mitzrayim, a nation came out of Egypt. What a horrible way to describe who God took them out with a miracle. He said, a nation happened to come out. Well, some way they gained their independence. That shows how wicked Bullock is. The whole world knew that God saved these people miraculously. Hine, behold, a nation came out of Mitzrayim. Hine, Kisa is covered as Enos, the eye of the earth. They're all around me. Hu Yoshi Mamuli, they're right next to me. Vatwa now. Lechok come. No, please. Orally, curse for me. It's almost as this nation. If you curse them, maybe you find some fault that they have, and then we'll fight them. Ki Otsum Humimeni, they are definitely too strong for me, says Moloch, the king of Moab. If you curse them, maybe I can beat them. I'll drive them out of the land, this area. Kiyodati, I know, is Asher Tvorech, 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 Mavorek, what you bless is blessed. Vashir Tor, you are, what you curse is cursed. He was the most greatest prophet the Gentiles had in the world. Vayelchu Ziknei Moav, so the elders of Bolak's, a government, the elders of, went, Ziknei Midyan, Vayelchu Ziknei Moav, and Ziknei Midyan, the elders of Moab and Midian, because some of you, they had charms in their hand, so Bilam shouldn't say, I don't have my magic wand, I don't have my crystal glass. They brought everything. So Yavo El Bilam, it took many days to get to Bilam. And he spoke to him what Balak said. He said, okay, I'll tell you what, fellas, sleep over tonight. I'll tell you in the morning what God told me. Kashir Yidaber Yud Kevovke, the Jewish God, what he tells me. Oh, Bilam believed in the Jewish God. Eli, what he tells me. So they stayed that night. Him, Bilam, with Bilam. Bilam, as we know, was a pervert. He slept with his camel, with his donkey. But God speaks to him? God? There are people in the world who believe in God who are lowest filth. We have them today, millions of them. And we know who they are.
So wasn't Bilam a contemporary of Yitro and who else?
They were one of three priests for Pharaoh, weren't they?
Right. Pharaoh had three advisors. Bilam was one.
Yitro
was two. Eob, Job was three.
And Job, Eob, Job.
So he said to him, Eob, what do you say? Eob said nothing, because he knew in his heart God will save them. He asked Yisro, what do you say? He said, don't touch them. God will take revenge. Of course, he became a gear then, became Moshe's father-in-law. And then he said to Bilam, what do you say? Wipe them out, because they'll take over the world if you don't kill them. So he said, yes, he said to Yisro, you're a Jew lover? He had to run away to Midian, from Egypt, back home to Midian, to Saudi Arabia, because he was, you're a Jew lover? And Eov said nothing, because he knew God will save him. Now, Eov wrote a book in our Tanakh called The Sefer of Eov, and he was the greatest, best tzaddik the Goyim ever had. And he never converted. He wanted to stay a Goy, and he did, and God spoke to him. And he wrote a book with 42 chapters, and every page, if you ever looked at Eov, it's why did you make me, and I'm sorry the day I was born, and he never cursed God. Oh, what happened to him? He was the richest man. He had 60 children, the richest, most handsomest man. All his kids died. He got, his body is afflicted with wounds. He lost every penny, and he never, and God was testing Eov, because the angel said, look, you have Abraham. Okay, he was your friend, but Eov is not, as a guy, and he's not really a tzaddik. You know why? Give him a hard life, and let's see if he rejects you. So Hashem said to the Malach, you can do anything you want to him. Don't take his life, though. So they made his children die, and he lost all his billions of dollars, and he had his arms and legs afflicted with pain and suffering, and he never cursed God, but he said, why did you make me? 42 chapters of complaints. I'm sorry the day I was born. He suffered so much. So the Talmud says, when it comes to other people's pain, because Raphael said, what shall I do with these Jews? You say nothing. When it comes to your pain, you have 42 chapters of nothing but complaints. Why don't you speak up? What God will do is his business. Why don't you speak up in their defense like Yisro did? And maybe you wouldn't have had this whole thing against the Jewish people for 210 years. Why don't you speak up? Oh, God will take care of it.
I think one of the most dynamic parts of the book of Job, I think it's chapter 38, is when God appears in the whirlwind.
Yeah. And then he never cursed God for torturing him. He said, why did you make me? And I'm sorry you made me. But he never rejected God. And therefore, at the end of the safe, he became a Navi. God spoke to him. And therefore, he is in our Tanakh. And you can learn that safer you of how to handle sorrows in your lifetime. Even if God does things your little brain doesn't understand. But there must be a reason. Like this fellow that just was found from Norfolk, Virginia. Why does a man, a tzaddik, who went to save a little child, have to be killed in the process of saving a child in 5 days? His body is in the Isn't it interesting the fish didn't eat him? His body was untouched because he was a Rebbe. He's a tzaddik. He's a frum Jew. His body was untouched, unmoored. Norfolk, Virginia is the Atlantic Ocean. You think there's nothing out there? Okay, he had to go through that. We don't know why a young man, 35, I don't know, 40 years old, 35, had to go through such a terrible thing. We don't understand this world. It's too complicated. Maybe it's a very good thing if you could see the other side, which we don't because we're only a human being. Maybe saving him from something terrible that was supposed to happen to him. Or like child dies in a crib, 6 months old, 3 months old, crib death. And how do you know that this is bad? Maybe it's a very good thing. How do you know what should have been? And like, for instance, the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara, so Moshe had to spend the Yidden had to spend 39 years in the desert. Do you know that the Meraglim wouldn't have spoken bad at all? Moshe would have died right away because he's not supposed to come to Israel. Do you know that sin increased his life for 39 years? Do you understand what is good and what is really bad? We don't because our brain is too little. If they would have said, yes, it's bad, let's go, Moshe cannot get to Israel, so he would have died. He died at 120, would have died 40 years earlier, 80 years old. So their sin, which Jews spend learning Torah 40 years, the Moshe could live to 120. So was it good or bad? Well, it was bad. They talk Lashon Hara, but it was good. So we don't know the big picture in life. So we have an expression, if you learn Talmud, Kol the Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid. Whatever the merciful one does is for your good, if you're a decent from Jew. But you don't understand it, but maybe when you get to the other side, you understand it. How do you know how things work? We don't know. Sometimes we live long enough, we see, ooh, what I thought was bad to me turned out fantastic. I met a guy once from a UPS. He used to be a UPS driver. He used to be in the business. He used to ship stuff every day. The guy used to come to me every day, pick up merchandise, you know. Once he stopped coming, and then months later, I met him. I said, what happened to you? Well, they let me go, UPS. And he was in a coffee shop. And he says, my life is cursed. And so I met him about a year later. I said, hey, you look good, all dressed up with a business suit. Yeah, I met some guy in a coffee shop. I needed extra help in the warehouse. And after a year, I became the warehouse manager, and then another 3 more years later, I became the department manager. And I said, what are you now? Well, I used to make 70, 80,000, now I make 400,000. I'm going to be vice president of the company. Eventually, 12 years later, he took over the whole company. So getting fired is good, but you don't know how it's going to turn out. If you were to work for his whatever, they work for running into on the truck and into the house and back and forth. Yeah, he would have made his 40, 70, 80,000, 90,000. But when he became president of the company, I met him years later. I don't know, $500,000 that he was making a year, management. And so we don't know what's good and what bad is. Let's go a little further. Then I'm going to go into it with the Rashis. Stay here tonight, pasuk number 8. And what God will talk to me, that's what I'll tell you. Now look at pasuk 9. God came to him. Did God ever come to you and me, Jews? Who are these people? As if God doesn't know. He's giving Bilam a chance to answer. Who are these people? He's giving you a chance to collect your thoughts. Who are these? Imach with you. Yom, he said, Bilam, Elohim to God. You know, he doesn't shock. He's talking to God. I mean, yeah, you know. He was the greatest Navi the Goyim had. Balak, he said, Balak, the son of Tzippor, king of Moab, send to me here. There's a nation that came out of Israel, of Mitzrayim. They're covering the eye of the land all around the east bank, and Moab is on the east bank. Ato, he said, Balak said to these agents to tell me, Ato, now, Lechok, come, Kavali, curse these people. Then maybe I can battle them and drive them away. Pasuk number 12. Lo Selech, don't go. Imohem with them. Don't curse the people. Even if you stay home, don't curse them. Ki Baruch Hu, they're a blessed nation. Shani, the Yochum Bilam Babokri got up in the morning. Yomel Sori Bali said to the officers of Bali, Luchu, go home. Luchu, go back to your country. Kim Ein Hashem Lesiti Lehalach. God doesn't let me go. Imochem with you. Oh, he put in an extra jab there. He could have said, no, God doesn't let me go. With you. He means to say, you little schnooks, let Bilam send higher-ranked people and more, not just 3 or 4, 50, funny, some big shots, which means he put in his own personal jab. God doesn't let me go with you. Ooh, imachem. They got up. sorry, Moab, the king, the princess of Moab. But Yovel Bullock, and they came back to Bullock. Hey, there's something missing here. They went, the elders of Moab and Midian. How come they didn't get up in the morning? Look, go back. Here, go back. Back to the beginning. You said you sent messengers from both nations, but one of them was in the morning. But y'all come build them, but both of them. Sorry, Bullock. What happened to the others? Says Rashi. Take a look. Where's Rashi? No, it doesn't say that. It says that the others said he's going to ask Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, God. God is going to curse his own people. So they left. They said, this guy's not going to help us. And they were right. So the other goof stayed there. He choked. So he got up in the morning and he spoke to the Saudi Bullock. Lechu, go home to your land. God doesn't let me go with you. And they got up. The elders of Moab. The other Bullock came back. You know, it was a long trip there from Iraq. And Bilam was somewhere in Iran or Iraq. And this is way up against the Yardane, 300-400 miles apart. You know, it's not 1, 2, 3. It took maybe 2 weeks. He refuses Bilam. Hello, he wanted to go with us. Bullock understood. He added, Shlach Sorim Rabim, more in numbers, not just 2 or 3, maybe a whole group. But a more honored, higher rank. They came back to Bilam. Bullock. So says Bullock, Ben Sibor, the son of Sibor. El Al, please. No. No means please. I'll don't. Timona refuse. Mahalik Eli to come to me. I'm going to honor you. You're going to have a big reception. Whatever you want, I'll give you. No, come please. Kavali has only cursed this nation. Honor you means money and a big reception, a big party, you know. Bilam said to the elders of Bullock, if Bullock gives me Melo basically his whole treasury of silver and gold, I'm not allowed to violate one word of God. He may have been a lowlife and filthy, but he was not a liar. Okay, my God. There's people today that believe in so-called Allah. They're wicked, low people. You can believe in God and be a wicked, evil person. I'm not going to violate the word of God. My God. To do even a little thing. Oh, good Lord, big thing. Shuvono, stay here overnight. Now let me ask God again. Shuvono, stay here. Bose, right here. Gamatam, you too. Alaylo, tonight. I'll let you know. My Yosef Hashem, what God adds. Dabri, what he's going to speak to me tonight. Vayoval Kimel Bilam. And God came to Bilam. Lilo, that night, Vayomer Lo, he said to him, Im Lakro Lecha, if they're calling you, Bo Anosh the men, go with them. Kum Lehitam. Ooh, the other time, don't go. What happened that now you can go to the same wicked man, Bullock? How come before it was not, and now it's okay? Oh, look what it says here. Lecha, they're going to give you honor. You're going to get money and covet and a reception out of it. You're going to get a personal pleasure. Oh, that is not purely for hatred of Israel. You're going to benefit. Then you can go because the curse will never work because now it's not lishma. It's not pure because of hatred because you're getting something out of it, so it's not any more pure Jew hatred. You're going to get something out of money and covet and honor. Then it's no problem. It won't work. You can go with him. They're coming for you, Lecha, to give you covet. Not just, you know, the Hitler didn't care if he lose the Second World War. You know that when the last few weeks he was transporting millions and thousands of Jews into concentration camps, even though he's going to lose the war. He didn't care. He was purely out to destroy the Jews. He didn't care if he would lose the Second World War. Therefore, they made an attempt on his life to kill him. Because he shouldn't have, when the Russians coming from one side and the Allies on the other, he should have all the soldiers and all the trains to fight off the enemy. He was using trains with Gestapo to round up Jews the last few weeks. He was out of his mind because he was purely out of Jew hatred. They wanted to kill him. The German soldiers, the generals wanted to kill him because he lost his mind. That's how intensely about destroying the Jews. If they, but if they're calling Bilam to give them covered money, you know, no problem, you can go. Okay, come, get, go with them. But only what I tell you, that's what you should do. Yochum Bilam Baboki got up in the morning. He saddled up his own donkey, even though it's the biggest priest of that part of the world. He has people to saddle up his donkey, but the hatred for Jews was so intense, he saddled up his own donkey. But Yeluk him, sorry, Moab, he went to the princes of Moab, and God was angry at him. He is a goer. Not that he went, he wanted to go. Who? So God set up an angel in the middle of the road to stop the donkey, the satan, to prevent him. But there, in the middle of the road, the satan rode to prevent him. For who broke about? So he was riding on his donkey, which neighed the art of Emo, and the two aides were next to him. But there, the donkey saw as Malach Hashem, the God's angel. All over the Chumash, a donkey is called a chamor. Only here is it female, because he slept with his donkey. Ason is a female chamor. As Malach, he saw the angel, the donkey, not him, the so-called prophet. He saw the Malach of God, the Nitz over there standing in front of him. The Chabashuv and the angel had his sword out in front of him. So the donkey went off the road into the woods. Went into the field. But Yachas Bilam, and Bilam didn't know why the animal was going off the road, so he beat the Bilam, he beat the donkey. Hatosel had to bring him back on the road. But Yamad Malach Hashem, but Mishal, so now he's going on a little road, a little path in the field. So the mouse stood in the path. Malach Hashem, Mishal Krum, between two vineyards, off the road. A little brick, a brick fence on this side, a brick fence on that side. But there also is Malach Hashem, and the Asan saw the God's angel again. Hilchat says Akir, and it went to next to the brick wall. Hilchat says Regobah, smash one of Bilam's feet against the brick wall. Tilachet, the God pressed the Regal Bilam, one of his feet, and Akir to the wall. But Yosef, and he beat it animal more. But Yosef, Malach Hashem, and then he continued going, and then the Bilam kept on walking. Then the Malach was in a very, very narrow place. You know what? You can't turn right or left 1 inch. A very tiny little thing. But Tir also is Malach, and the donkey again saw the Malach Hashem. But Tir Bats, it just sat down. But it crouched. It crouched. Under Bilam, sat down. Oh, now Bilam was furious. Bilam. He was furious. He hit him not with the strap, with the wood. Now comes the greatest miracle of the whole world. God opened the mouth of the donkey. It said to Bilam, what have I done to you? You hit me. That's 3 times now. You understand that Bilam doesn't faint that the donkey talks to him. He answers him because two behemoths can talk to each other. He has allowed to. You're making fun of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you. Aren't I your donkey? You rode on me way back till today. Did I ever do a thing like this before to you? Did I ever, was I accustomed to do such a thing like this? He said, no, you didn't. Now God opens Bilam's eyes. Hashem is Ene Bilam Miyar and Samalach. He saw the angel, Hashem of God, needs over there standing in the road. His sword was out, which means I don't want you to go. But God said you can go. But God sent the Malach to make him not go. But Hashem told him he can go. And the Malach had God sent told him not to go. What's going on here? Yikar, he got off, he bowed his head down, and he bowed to the ground. Bilam knew this was the angel of God. Yomer Elov Malach Hashem. Adma Hikiso Esasonko, why did you hit your donkey? Sholot Regolim 3 times. He Nanoch Yotsos, don't you know stood in front of him? The Satan to prevent? Kiyerit Adechne, your way you're going is against my wishes. But Tira also, Tirania, the Asan saw me, but you didn't. But Tate, the fun he bait, turned away from me shoulders 3 times. Ulai, not to sub a ponder, maybe, Ulai. And 3 times, had he not turned away, Ulai, not so, upon I, he ato gam, I would kill you to keep him alive. You wanted to kill him and stay alive. If he didn't turn away, I would have killed you and he would have been alive. Wato, I would keep you alive. Yom Vilum Mamalch Hashem. So Vilum now says, checkmate. I said to the Mamalch Hashem, Chatosi, I did a sin. He lo yodat, he didn't know. He ato nisov, because you're standing there. Vaderech in the road. Vato now. Imra ben echo, if it's bad in your eyes, Oshubo, I'll go back. Lee, I'll turn my bay, I'll go back. If it's even your eyes, I shall return. Yom Mamalch Hashem, Vilum, no. Leich, go. Im Hanoshim, with these men. The efforts, however, nothing but the word that I put in your mouth, you're going to speak. No lies. Efes, however, and go with this man, but only. Efes, and I told you a few weeks ago, Efes in Hebrew means zero. Nothing but what I tell you, you're allowed to speak. As the Dover said, that which you should speak. So he went with the officers of Bolek. Now, what's going on here, gentlemen? God tells him no. He sends an agent of God to... God tells him yes. He sends an agent of God to no. So what's going on here? What's going on? So the first time he didn't go, God said don't go. Second time when they want to honor him with money and a big parade and a big reception. Oh, it's for you, so you're getting a personal thing out of it, then the curses won't work. Now he's told, God told him you can go, and Hashem sends a malach to stop him. So what's going on here? Which means when a person is evil... and you want to do something, and God lets you do it, means you're not going to win. But now you're going, and the angels stopping you. Why? If you really, really, really want to do something bad, even if you lose your life, God says, great, keep going. You're going to self-destruct. And everybody knows the end of the story. When he got there, the Jews chopped him up into pieces. But that he doesn't know that yet. And so... he says, go ahead, why don't you go? And the Malach says, you wanted to go so badly. I'm trying to save your life, you fool. I'm trying to save your life. That's why I stood in the road. But when you said, I'll return, I know you're not sincere. No, you go the other way. A week later, you go the other way. And so go ahead, sir. Which means you want to self-destruct. I'm giving you permission. Oh, now one more line, and then we're going to learn from the first Rashi in the beginning. But Yishma Bolek heard Kibal Bilam, he's coming. V'yetzer, because he came out with him, a whole party, El Ir Moab, to the city of Moab, the capital of Moab. Asher Gvul Arno, next to the big powerful river called Arnon. That runs sideways toward the Yarden, which is north and south. Arnon goes right and left. Arnon, which is runs into the Yarden. Gvul Arnon, Asher B'Kseg HaGvul, which is the end of his country. V'yom Bolek El Bilam. Well, the king says to the prophet, "Hello, shalom, shalachti." Hello, I sent for you twice. Hello, shalachti. Why didn't you come to call you? Why didn't you come? Don't you believe me that I can honor you? I can give you plenty of money. The Yom Bilam Abolik. Okay, let's forget about it. I'm here now. Forget about that. I came. Elechem. I don't know. I can't do anything except what God tells me to say. Can you imagine a man who hates Jews, but who's going to listen to the word of God? Can you imagine a million of Malams who hate Jews and they're going to listen to the word of God, like we have today? Millions of them. They believe in God, but they hate Jews. It happened way back. Now, we'll stop right here. Let's tell you something. Bilam is the Gilgal reincarnation of Lavan. The same letters as Bilam is Lavan. Take a look at the word Bilam. Go back to... wait to the first one. If you look at the word Bilam, write the word. You can't write Hebrew, but if those who can write Hebrew, write it. Beis, Lamed, Ayin, Mem. Right to left. Bilam. And underneath Beis, Lamed, Ayin, Mem, under the Beis, Lamed, write Ayin, Mem. Under the next two letters of Bilam, Ayin, Mem, write Lamed, K. Oh, Bilam on top, Amalek on the bottom. Any person who wants to kill Jews is Amalek. So if you write Bilam, and then you write Amalek, under the word Beis Lamed is Ayin Mem. That spells Bilam. And Ayin Mem and Lamed Kei is a Molech. Hitler is a Molech. The Holy, on the Holy Roman Empire is a Molech. What's his name? Haman is a Molech. Everyone, Bilam is a Molech. A Molech is Esav's grandson. Any nation that wants to obliterate you are a Molechim. The communists under Stalin were a Molech. Any nation that wants to get rid of you off the face of the earth because you're the most powerful force that exists, you're too dangerous to let you alive, you, that's a Molech. I'm Molech. I'm Lach. They want to wipe you out because they know how dangerous and powerful you are. We are the most powerful nation in the world. The greatest powers feared us. They got to stone you and gas you and Inquisition, burn you because you're too dangerous. And the Jews know that. And this little nation, which is 0.1% of humanity, why are we so dangerous? You understand already. The more religious you become, you understand how our creed is totally different than what they live for. Completely, totally, totally opposite. We're not people. We're human beings that have a neshama. And the body is only a cover of the real thing. And they, most people, don't see that. They can't see it. They just don't see it. How can you worship an invisible God and fast 24 hours a day once a year? Why? Why Friday afternoon, past sunset, if you do something that's a terrible punishment, but a second minute before it's okay? What is this religion you have? You can wear wool and you can wear linen, but together it's poison. You can eat milk and then eat meat, but together it's, God forbid. It's too subtle for their untrained mind to grasp. And they can't stand you, because when they look at you, you interfere with their hedonism, their pleasure-seeking. They want to live once, and they'll drop dead, and it's all over, they think. But it's not like that. And we bring in this message to mankind, and Bilam was the first one who wanted to get rid. Lavan was the first one who wanted to get rid of his son-in-law, called Yaakov, who's also his nephew, because Yaakov's mother's brother. He came, Yaakov came from Rivka, and that was her brother, Lavan. And they know, if you're in the family, you know how powerful the other part of the family is, because you're related. Yaakov and Esau were brothers. Esau, from him comes a Molech. They know what you got and what he doesn't have. And they, if they were decent people, they would respect you and keep the seven mitzvahs and may even convert. But if you can't do that, you have to justify your existence. So you say, well, yes, they're troublemakers. We've got to get rid of them. Okay, gentlemen, any question on this so far?
Why do we have Matuvu if he was such a degrading person?
Who? Like who?
Why do we put Matovu in the Siddur?
Oh, see what this gentleman is saying? Well, as you get further into the Siddur, who is this? Bruce? Is that Bruce who just asked me that?
No. Mayor.
Mayor Pearl from Florida. We say every morning, if you go to shul, Matovu lecho Yaakov.
The first thing
when you walk into shul, how beautiful is your tent? Bilam said that. How do you repeat every day of your life, millions of Jews for thousands of years, when the first thing when you walk into a shul, you say Matovu, it's right in the Siddur, first page. Matovu lecho Yaakov, how beautiful are your tents, Yaakov. Bilam said that. How do you repeat a word of a wicked man? Because just like God opened the donkey's mouth, he opened this wicked man's mouth to say what God wanted him to say. And he may have been a lowlife, but he's not a liar. You see, Lavan is a liar because God came to Lavan and says, don't you dare tell Yaakov when you meet him tomorrow morning anything that you're going to threaten him. So when Lavan met Yaakov, he said to him, you know, I have these 400 soldiers. I could kill you, but your God came to me last night, and I'm not going to touch you, which means God told him not to open his mouth. Here is the Gilgal 500 years later of Bilam. He says, I'm not going to do what my great-great-great-great-grandfather did. I'm going to tell the truth. So he was the Gilgal of love and a liar, and he did not tell a lie. He said what God put in his mouth. You can be a wicked man and say that, quote the Bible. You could be a wicked man quoting the Bible because you just look at it a different way. Matova Lohiaga. God opened his mouth and he had to say what God said. Therefore, just like a donkey talking what God tells him to say, so this wicked man also said what God, therefore we're allowed to say Matova every single morning. Ah, very good question, Mayor. And I'm sure you knew the answer because, you know, these are the questions.
Well,
you didn't know the answer. But
it's still, I mean, it's baffling to me. Because
but God
forces
you to say it. So what is it? It's not you, mm-hmm. not saying it. He didn't. After the three times he wanted to curse, he had to bless them three times. Matova was the third time. But then he said to Bola, come here. I'm going to tell you my own advice. Now, not what God tells me. You want to get these Jews? I'll tell you how to do it. They're so holy that if you bring in the opposite of holiness, prostitutes, they'll fall for it. Mm-hmm. So he brought in the daughters of Moab. And some Jews got involved, and 24,000 Jews got killed because they got involved with these Geisha women. So Bilaam's personal advice worked. Therefore, when the Jews caught him, they chopped him up into little bits. Because Bilaam was a sorcerer. He could fly. He had caused himself to grow wings and fly. And Pinchas also was a tzaddik who had Ruach HaKodesh. He could also make wings. And they met in the sky, two of them, Pinchas, our great-grandson of Aram, and he said to Bilaam, you have a power to do miracles and fly. I can do that too. Now I'm going to kill you. He said, please don't. We're both angels. We can fly. Nobody else. You know, I have a power like you. And he said, no, but I have to kill you. God told me. You got a sword and chopped him up bit by bit. And even though you are a big prophet and you have this power of magic, you can still be a low, wicked person. So they chopped up Bilaam into little pieces. Ah, my. Now,
Rabbi?
First of all, who is that first person?
You think Rasputin is comparable to any commentaries on Rasputin? He's more modern.
Say it again. Who's comparable who?
Rasputin from the early 20th century, the Tsar.
Who is he?
He reminds me of Bilaam. He was he's famous for his association with the Tsar of Russia.
Oh, Rasputin?
Rasputin, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to kill everybody, I think. He wanted to kill the Jews, right?
Didn't he? But he had mystical powers that were...
mystical powers. So, I know he's a very ruthless person. He was under the Tsars, right?
Yeah, he worked for the Tsar, and he supposedly healed their son of hemophilia.
There are people in the world, believe it or not, wicked people that have very powerful powers. God gives it to them. Some way they know the secrets of creation, like this Bilaam knew the moment that he could create wings for himself. He was a brilliant man, but he was wicked and evil. There's a lot of brilliant men that are wicked and evil, and some wicked, and some people are brilliant, and they're big tzaddikim. And you're really dangerous if you're very brilliant, because then you can do terrible things. But if you're not brilliant, you're not too dangerous. Bilaam is the reincarnation of Lavan.
I know, but who is Zippor?
Who is what?
Who's Zippor?
Who's the fourth one?
No, Zippor, son of Zippor.
Oh,
yeah.
But what do you mean? What means son of the four?
Zippor.
Oh, Tzipor, that's his father.
Yeah, why is he mentioned, and who is he? Who was he?
Oh, he was also wicked. Balak ben Tzipor. Balak, the son of a bird, because Tzipor means a bird, which means he could charm birds in the sky and say, look at them, say something, they would flop down and drop dead. These people had tremendous voodoo, black power, black magic powers. Tremendous. It was such a thing in their ancient times. They had a power even over evil. Even evil people had that power. Tzipor is a bird. I mean, he used to look at a bird and the bird would lose its consciousness and collapse. They could charm snakes. They know how to do this. There was a power. When it was great in the Vuol, there was the opposite also. The power of voodoo and black magic and animal charming, something we don't have today. When there was the positive mystical powers, there were negative mystical powers. Today we don't have the positive, so there's no negative. We don't have the real Nevuah prophecy. Therefore, the Goyim just come with brute force. They don't have the mystical powers they used to have. And there is something to this. The powers of evil are very dangerous. There are certain moments of the year where certain things, if you know the right words, you can get God to respond to you. there's a certain moment in the day or a week or a month where people know certain moments that you they could tap into that and control nature.
And why is it Moshe mentioned? Is that because he was in the Midians with the Midianites?
Where was Moshe? Or? Where's Moshe?
Why wasn't he mentioned?
Why wasn't he mentioned?
Yeah.
This whole Sedra, no Jew had an idea what was going on. Nothing to do with Jews. There were, this was all between two Gentiles, Balak and Bilam. And didn't nowhere here does Jews know anything that's going on outside of their where they were living in the desert there. They had no idea that this plan was being fabricated by two evil men. No Jew had any concept of what's going on. Same thing today. There could be terrible people planning to wipe you out, but God takes care of them, and you'll never know about it. You'll never know
right.
about it unless a prophet tells you that what happened. You'll never know about it every minute of your life. Don't be saying, Hagadim, Bechol Dor V'Dor, every generation, they want to wipe us out, but God saves us. One person, Hitler, did it openly. How do you know since then that there was some other plan that God did stop them? Because it says every in the Haggadah, every generation, they want to do it. A lot of things you don't even know about. There's not this whole Sedra has nothing to do with Jews. They didn't know anything. It's about two goyim talking to each other. And then Moshe, at the end, finally, the daughters of Moab came in from the king of Moab, and one of them wanted to seduce Moshe Rabbeinu even. And then Pinchas killed this man who had the relations with one of these women, Balak's daughter, called, what's her name? One of the princes of the Jews had relations with her, and Pinchas killed the head of the tribe of Shimon, who had relations with her. Sometimes a lot of things are going on in the course of Jewish history you're not even aware of, that you're being saved every day, every minute.
Exactly.
Like if you want to catch a plane and you have a taxi and you got a flat tire, you miss the plane, and next day you read the plane crash.
Baruch Hashem.
You know that God saved your life with that flat tire? You only know that later. And it happens like the two brothers who founded Macy's, they went on the Titanic. They came back. They wanted to come back with the Titanic. And one of them stayed in Palestine to help the poor Jews. And the other one said, no, we can't. Then we gave them millions of dollars. We can't stay there forever. He said, but one of them said, there are brothers. I have to stay here. So one took the Titanic and died because it sunk. And the other one stayed longer in Palestine. He survived. These are the two founders of Macy's. Manfred and two, what's the last name? The founders of Macy's. Two Yidden. One couldn't leave the poor Jews in 1900.
Strauss,
maybe. Eliezer Strauss, Nathan Strauss, yeah. And the other one said, I can't leave these poor Jews. I have to stay here. I want to be there with my brothers. And he made it. And the brothers said, well, I can't wait for you. I'm taking the Titanic. And then it sunk, in 1912. So you see, the guy who wants to do good for his poor brothers in Palestine lived. And the other one said, no, we gave him a few million dollars, enough, we can't stay there forever. We have to run our store, and he died. How everything is worked out so precisely. You only see it later. And it's happening every day, miracles with us.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Almost, just missed by an inch, something that could have cost you your life. How thankful you are the next day. Okay, gentlemen and ladies, do we have any more questions? No? Okay, have a nice night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Have a good night.
What's that?
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody. Yeah. So long.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.